Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Chelsea Echo and welcome to your preview. The preview for the cup final. I did not think I'd be saying that this year, but as it slowly crept up on us. Tom.
Hello.
How you doing, mate?
Very well, thank you, yes. Yeah, weird how things have changed so quickly. It was, 2 weeks ago I was calling for Poch's head. And now we've gone away to Villa, battered them, done the job away at Palace and gone to City and put in a proper old school Chelsea dogged defensive performance, you know, kind of like reminiscent of the Bayern 2012 game and Barca of the same year in the Champions League, just digging in, making it really difficult, not really looking to play football because we had the lead. Ultimately, we were pegged back and drew, but that's a very good point and I think that shows a lot about the heart of the players in that club, which has been called out before, so I was very pleased with some of them.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing, you know. Yeah, I think you and I were both kind of at peace with the fact that we thought we'd be going to Etihad, coming away empty-handed and maybe coming away battered and bruised. But we come away battered and bruised in a positive way, you know. Like you said, dogged performance, defensively resolute. I love the fact that we saw our centre-back celebrating every tackle, every challenge, having that sense of arrogance almost. And unfortunately, it does say a lot that without Thiago Silva in the side, Chelsea have looked resilient. Yeah. And now it's time to start looking forward, I think. And obviously, he might be out for a little while, that groin injury. But, you know, I think that now we've really shown some capacity for positivity and going forward. You know, we're still 10th, which is ironic. Despite all this amazing performance, you know, it's all been not for nothing, but everyone else picked up points around us. I think, though, one thing to definitely, apart from West Ham, of course, we haven't won since the new year, David Moyes trying to be...
Leaked 11 goals.
That was interesting.
11 goals without conceding in 3 games.
Did you see what he said about West Ham fans afterwards? How they should basically appreciate him more. And he's like, I get results. And I'm like, no, you don't, Dave. You don't, mate.
I thought that was a bit of an arrogant comment. I kind of understood what he was trying to say, I think, in terms of, has it ever been this good for West Ham? Well, yes, obviously previously it was when they were winning trophy titles and things, but in the profession, the sort of, since the 90s in the Premier League era, it probably hasn't. I don't know the history of West Ham well enough. Maybe that's an ignorant comment, but certainly in my lifetime, watching West Ham hasn't been as good as this the last few years. Playing European football, big European away days, Europa League semi-final, Conference League victory. But unfortunately, the style of football they're playing at the moment with the squad that they've got and the results they're now getting is not really tenable, I don't think.
We'll have to see. Chabi Alonso to West Ham? It's probably going to be on the cards at some point. That would definitely be better.
I think Potter would do really well with that West Ham squad.
I think Potter's going United.
I don't think they're getting rid of Ten Hag anytime soon. They look good.
They've got
a young squad. But
Dan Ashworth's kind of sniffing around. They're looking at our head data analyst, Carl McCauley, I think his name is. Goes to show how much I know about that. But he's apparently being linked with a move to United. Dan Ashworth wants him. Obviously, they both work with Potter at Brighton. Potter's out of the job. He's been watching a lot of football recently.
Be interesting. But I don't think you can get rid of Ten Hag the way they're currently playing. And you obviously brought in Mainu at the perfect time. Garnacho's balling out. Hoyland suddenly, you know, youngest ever player to score 6 in a row in the Premier League. So yeah, I think I'd be surprised if they got rid of Ten Hag. But yes, I don't think Moyes will be at West Ham anymore. Anyway, that's by the by. We're here to talk about Chelsea. We're here to talk about the League Cup final.
Too right.
Which is fun. I'm excited for this game, even though
I am as well.
Also slightly fearful. But that's where it all comes in. It's the hope that kills you, but it's also the fun of the week.
Exactly. But before we do get into that, we've got to hit Act 1 first, mate.
We do.
We've got to talk more in depth about that City game. So obviously City, the Etihad, I don't know how Erling Haaland missed 3 sitters.
Yeah.
I don't know how we missed 2.
Yeah.
I don't know how we even got into which we were, and I don't know how Sterling was the man to pop up. Yet here we are, discussing Chelsea picking up points at Man City. Or a point at Man City.
Yeah. Yeah, unbeaten against City this season. Woo-hee. Who saw that coming? It was a strange game because it was only obviously 1-1 late goal for City. They had all of the ball. We had 29% possession in the end. So, you know, they had 31 shots, albeit only 5 of them were actually on target. But that kind of gives you a bit of a context on how much they dominated us that game. But as we said, defensively resolute, passion from Cole. Well, I thought De Sassi was absolutely amazing, like fantastic. Mm. I've slagged him off before. I thought he was poor, but if he's playing with Cole and Badia Shill, who's played recently, he's looked really, really good. So I think that does sadly show that Thiago Silva's days, I think, as a Chelsea player are not, well, we knew they were numbered anyway, but I think they're almost over. Injury, regardless of his injury, I don't think he'll be getting into the starting 11, you know, the first team anyway, the first choice starting 11. But yeah, weird, like Haaland had all those chances. Sterling should have scored again. Jackson should have scored. I think we love playing on the counter attack. That's what we like to do. You know, we did it very well against Villa. We tend to do it quite well against the bigger teams. And we were fantastic. I thought that was a really good template potentially to try and use against Liverpool, who also quite like to have lots of the ball and control play, but we don't mind hitting them on the counter. You know, they've got injuries, which we'll talk about later on, throughout their squad, as do we, obviously.
The woes. My heart bleeds.
but very good point. It felt like a win, even though they scored late on. You know, it was a weird game, I think. I was watching it at a pub. I had mates around me who were a couple of Liverpool mates and a couple of Arsenal mates, so they were all supporting Chelsea as well. And it was quite fun in that respect. But obviously, yeah, I think everyone happy with that result in the Premier League, apart from City and probably United fans, really. But yeah, sorry, United fans would have been very... Well, I don't know, because they'd rather Liverpool didn't win it. Anyway, that's just me talking nonsense. Yeah, good point. I was very happy with it.
Yeah, and I think you've covered all the bases, mate. I thought everyone did the really simple stuff really well, which is something we've really struggled with a lot of the time this season. And I think that can't go understated. If we keep doing the simple stuff well, I'll be very, very happy. You know, we are moving up the table, and it does sound very flip-flap, I think. After what we were both saying a few weeks ago, I just weren't happy, weren't sure, didn't see where the next points were coming from. And all of a sudden, we just seem to have switched on. You know, all the rumours about apparent unhappiness in the camp and players weren't happy with Pochettino, almost galvanised them to sort of make them really push on.
Yeah.
And credit to all of them.
Well, I think they've put in two, I would say, template performances now. You know, Villa was fantastic. That's the template generally. That's how we should always be playing. But then that City away game was a really good defensive template and a template on how to play teams that are currently better than us, which I would say Liverpool are obviously in that bracket. So it's an interesting one. I think Liverpool fans were a bit worried, I think, watching that, thinking these guys could do us, you know. Whereas a few weeks ago when we got, you know, beaten 4-2 at home by Wolves and we'd got battered by Liverpool away and we just didn't look like we knew. The players didn't even look like they knew each other. You know, we've come along very quickly in a very short space of time with just a couple of little tweaks in the team and a couple of little, you know, tweaks in players' roles. But yeah, very, very happy with that point and feeling a lot more positive about this weekend than I was, as I say, a fortnight ago.
Well, we'll obviously be doing a lot of content around the League Cup final, so make sure you stick around on the Chelsea Echo. If you haven't already and this is the first time you're listening to us, by the way, what are you doing? Make sure you hit a follow for all the good content coming here to all good podcasts and platforms. Me and Tom have got plenty of stuff to chat about throughout the week and some great things coming for you across all platforms and some great, great content on the match day itself as well. But before we do get into that game, obviously stat shaggers and all that lovely, lovely stuff, we've got to do our two usual bits of housekeeping. Now, we added this one a couple of weeks ago, and it's actually been quite fun. I think me and Tom have had a few messages back and forth, sort of going, what do you think about this? What about this one? And then sort of maybe picking out these songs we weren't sure about. There's one, actually, you said you were going to tell me last week, which you thought I'd pick, and I didn't. You never told me what it was off air. So I want to know that. But we've got the Forgotten Banger. Tom, Forgotten Banger of the Week. What you got for me?
My Forgotten Banger of the Week is by a rather well-known Manchester band. But it's a song that I hadn't heard of for a very long time. And then I heard it the other day. And it's The Master Plan by Oasis. Tune.
That's a very good song. It's a very good
song. I don't know how forgotten it is, but I think it's... I haven't heard it before.
I think it doesn't maybe fit the category as much. Like, could you hear the Master Plan if you went out? Like, that's kind of, that's the other thing. Like, does it, like, it's a tune. Don't get me
wrong.
Where
you, depends where you're going.
That is true, to be fair. That is true. I mean, mine's kind of a similar vibe, a bit more sing-along. It's Dominoes by The Big Pink. I mean, you think about that. That you can hear that going anywhere. I love it. We need to start putting this in the playlist. We need to get these sorted.
We do.
But guys, actually, do ping us your forgotten bangers as well. I forgot to say as well, actually, I don't know if you heard or listened to the post-match show live, but Gary obviously called in from New York, and he was at the Legends Bar, right?
Mm-hmm.
We've got a few followers over there. Didn't realise. So it's fantastic to hear them. Gary was chewing some guy's ear off called Piers. And he was going, are you like Piers Morgan? Like, no, I'm Piers, like Piers Brosnan. It was really interesting to hear Gary just chase people around.
I know, he's Piers Brosnan. It's not Piers, yeah. But
Piers, is it Piers or Pierce?
No, like,
there's
Piers,
two, isn't
it's
it?
Piers Brosnan. Yeah.
But it's Piers.
Like, I'm pretty sure it's Piers Brosnan.
It's P-I-E-R-C-E. P-I-E-R-C-E.
Yeah, I think it said Piers.
And Piers.
Yeah.
Piers or Piers. Basically, he was chewing his ear off about his name. People are talking about the Chelsea echo and how much they love us. So big thanks to them out in New York and to the New York Blues. Please keep listening. We really, really appreciate all your support, all your love. And then obviously, yeah, Gary was doing his usual, chasing someone down a hall because they were wearing a different Chelsea shirt from 1994. And he gave them like a whole Wikipedia page. It was really impressive for about 3 minutes. So you can only get that if you listen to it live. But if you haven't listened to it live, that's your own fault. Make sure you check out the Twitter Spaces. But we'll get straight into it, obviously. Forgotten bangers, done. But obviously, with that being said, Tom, it's now time for your... We still haven't got a name for this. It's big, big question.
Tom's big question of the week. Du-du-dum.
Cool.
There you go. there's the jingle in lieu of an actual jingle. So I thought about this again. Liverpool. Not an awful lot you can do about that in terms of their name. You know, what favourite swimming pool or, you know, like, nah. So I've gone for a musical theme, which obviously carries on from where we just were in terms of our forgotten banger. And I've gone for Louis. As it's Liverpool we're playing, probably the most famous export from Liverpool, the Beatles. Can you tell me?
I was going to say the cuisine of Scouse, but yeah, okay, that's fair enough.
Fine. Well, I'm not going to talk about whether you enjoy that because I don't actually know what it is.
Have you never had Scouse? It's lovely.
No.
Oof.
No,
it's like a stew. Well, it's like a Guinness stew. Oh, it's amazing. Mm. Sorry, carry on.
Okay, yes, but I wanted to ask you, what is your favourite Beatles song? Get started.
It actually really depends on my mood. So I think, like, right now, it's a Sunday night. I've got the lights on dim. I'm chilling out. I've got my tomato sauce going on the back burner, sort of nice and just chilling out, you know, getting it nice and mellow. So I'd probably say right now, at the time of recording, it's Yesterday.
That is my answer. I absolutely love that song. It's a fantastic tune. And I listen to it quite a lot, actually. It's probably the only Beatles song I'd say I listen to fairly regularly. I used to love Yellow Submarine when I was growing up.
My dad used to sing that in Italian, me and my dad, because it sounded really funny.
Right.
Noi abitano in un giallo sommergibile. Giallo sommergibile. It sounds like jelly. Do you want some giallo sommergibile?
That's how he really sounds.
Yeah,
first one.
Yeah,
the first one was,
yeah.
What was he called? Roberto something. Roberto the big cop.
Roberto's the big cop.
That's the guy, yeah. He came in for a brief minute to just sing Yellow Submarine in Italian. He's now since left.
Noi abitiamo un angelo sommergibile. Buonasera.
Come back.
Hello.
It's crazy that we Roberto. Have him on demand. We just have him for 10
you
seconds.
Want to talk, we're going to talk about the Liverpool game as well as talking. He sounds slightly Spanish
Roberto
now,
Roberto De Zerbi's here.
No. Roberto De Zerbi's more like, we have to know to play the football. I have spiky hair to hide the fact I do not have any hair in my crown. I hide it by spiking up my hair like Italian man. And when I am not coaching the football team, I like to wear really tight spandex and go on cycle rides on Brighton and Hove. Obrigiton. That's how my Italian family call it. No, you got to go to Brighton. You mean Brighton? Yeah. See. Okay.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Well, there we go. There's our weekly Tom's big question of the week.
Can I put forward one, because we both said yesterday? I do want. There's another one I do like when I was growing up.
Go on then.
Because I had it for my little brother, because he could never get to sleep. So we always used to play Here Comes the Sun.
And also, oh yeah, tune.
Unbelievable bit in B Movie.
Yes, although what I'm about to say will probably offend you if you think that. That is the worst film ever made, the B-movie. I hate it. I don't know why I have such strong feelings about it, but I have really, really strong feelings about the B-movie. Someone said it to me the other day, and I got really riled up again. I don't know why. It's just I think it's because I went to the cinema for it, and I sat through it, and I don't know why I did that either, but I sat through it, and I watched the B-movie, and I thought, this is just a heaping pile of rubbish. Why am I watching this? This is terrible. The concept.
We were about 8 when that came out. Like,
I know.
And that's how you thought when you were 8 years old?
Yep.
Are you like that's young Sheldon? Like, what is going on?
It's like something I've never seen before.
It's a tremendous heap of rubbish. I do not like this. Well, no, mother, we must leave immediately. Post haste. So what is going on? Like, what?
It's highly unlikely I used those words at the time, but there we go. I'm being a little polite.
No, mummy, this is fucking shit. Let's go.
Little child I was, I'm sure I said, yes, I loved it. What a great film. But I think I watched it back and I thought, this is absolutely terrible. So maybe at the time I didn't think it was as bad, but I watched it back and I thought it was absolutely terrible. And I have really strong feelings about it. I don't know why.
Me and brother enjoyed it. It was like, when we went on holiday to France one year, we drove down and it was like a 25-hour car journey. I think it was B-movie about 3 times, because it was the only one that, my youngest brother, who loves that song, Here Comes the Sun, right?
It's a tune.
It's the only thing that stopped him screaming. He was like 6 months old at the time. He would not shut up. So I just stick on B-movie, watch Jerry Seinfeld, put on a jumper, just shut up. Like a B jumper that's black and yellow rather than yellow and black. Like, actually, that's another, I've got my forgotten banger for next week. Black and Yellow by Wiz Khalifa, so I'm putting it in now. And then I'm probably coming up with another one, but that is an absolute tune. But that's another conversation for another day.
You've learned something new about me there. I have a strong hatred for the B-movie. Very, very irrational. But if I were to ever go on Room 101, that would be in there, the B-movie. along with Pomegranate and People Who Walk Slowly. There we go. There's some facts you're learning about me there. I don't know why I'm in such a ranty mood.
Why you're so angry about B movie?
I don't know either, to be honest. I'm in a great mood. I'm feeling, you know, hungover, tired, fine. But we're talking about the cup final. It's exciting, and I'm ranting about the B movie. Anyway, that's me. That's the Chelsea Echo. You don't get that anywhere else. the ultimate tangent.
I'm just gonna go off mic now. Let's do the intro, ladies and gentlemen. The Stat Shaggers.
The Chelsea Echo presents Stat Shaggers.
It is indeed Stat Shaggers, and while Louis composes himself, I'll read out a special edition of Stat Shaggers. Well, not really, it's just the fact that it's the cup final, of course. The first
B-movie.
Oh, here he goes. Still talking a lot about sodden B-movie. Anyway, yeah, history of this fixture. I've slightly changed it up, because we played Liverpool only a couple of weeks ago. Given we played them only a few weeks ago, I'm looking more generally into this... the history of the fixture in this competition, and then more specifically in the cup final, the League Cup final, which is obviously what we're playing on Sunday. Firstly, though, of course, it is worth noting Chelsea have not beaten Liverpool in all competitions since a 1-0 win at Anfield in March 2021, which doesn't sound that long ago, but we played them quite a few times. 8, to be precise. Drawing 7 of them, and Liverpool winning the last one, of course, a disastrous 4-1 defeat for Chelsea at Anfield. In the League Cup, the two sides first met in the League Cup in August 1977. Kenny Dalglish and Jimmy Case, the scorers there for the Reds. Since then, the two teams have played 9 times in the League Cup. Chelsea have won 4, Liverpool 3, and there have been 2 draws. Of course, you're thinking, how can there be a draw? It's a cup. Well, one of them was in the first leg of the semi-finals of 2015, which Chelsea would end up winning. And one of them was in the final of the 2022 League Cup, which, of course, sadly, Liverpool went on to win on penalties. Speaking of finals, as I've mentioned one there, it is currently 1-1 in finals. Chelsea winning the 2005 League Cup final, a famous 3-2 win after extra time, And Liverpool, sadly, as I said just now, winning that long penalty shootout in 2022 following a 0-0 draw in the final. Thank you, Kepa, and others for missing big chances throughout the game and a very dubious offside call. But let's not go back there. I don't need to rant anymore today. So that, of course, if you haven't already done it, put two and two together means that these two sides have yet to meet in a League Cup final without it going to extra time. So if you're a gambling man, maybe there's a bet for you there. The manager record in finals, Mr. Pochettino, we're looking at here, of course. He's appeared in four finals, winning two and losing two. The two he won both came at Paris Saint-Germain. When the French side won the 2020 Trophée des Champions, which I believe is their equivalent of the Community Shield. So barely counts, but there we go. And the 2020 to 2021 Coupe de France. Those are his only two trophies he's actually won, which isn't great, obviously. The two he lost both came at Spurs, losing 2-0 against Chelsea. Ha! In the final, League Cup final of 2015, a final Louis and I are a big fan of, and I've spoken about many, many times before, and also a 2-0 loss in the 2019 Champions League final against Liverpool. So, should he lead Chelsea to a triumph on Sunday, it will be his first trophy in England, and only his third trophy in his whole career, so a lot at stake for him as well. And then on to Liverpool themselves, their recent form. In the nine games since the turn of the year, Liverpool have only lost once, and that was a 3-1 loss to Arsenal in early February. They've won seven of those other nine matches in 90 minutes, beating Newcastle on New Year's Day, then Arsenal in the FA Cup, Fulham in the League Cup semi-final first leg. Now, that is why I said the 90 minutes thing. They ended up going through after extra time because they lost. They were 1-0 down in the second leg, so that's that slightly confusing part of that. But anyway, Bournemouth, Chelsea and Brentford all in the league as well. Quite comfortable wins, all of those. And then Norwich, another big 5-2 win in the FA Cup fourth round. So they're in a very good run of form. But as I mentioned earlier, that win against Brentford came at what cost? Back to you in the studio.
Thank you, Tomas. There we go. That wasn't a bad version of Statshaggers. Whilst Tom was doing that, I was stirring my tomato sauce, making sure it tasted amazing. And I can confirm, it is the absolute dog's nuts. But
we're talented. Like, we're talented here at the Echo. We do loads of things.
We are
film critics. We're chefs. You know, we do stuff.
Film critics, chefs, musical prodigies, multilingual as well. Yep. We're pretty fucking cool.
We actually are.
But we're cool in the way where, like, we don't rub it in people's faces and, like, wear turtlenecks.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that's, like, you could still find Tom having a Stella, maybe me having a vodka almond soda if I'm having a drink, because currently on a cut, aren't I? I have to be good, got to count my calories. So, you know, it's a situation where, you know, we got to figure all of that out. But again, that's another conversation for another day, which I'm sure... I feel like we should just have one episode where we just do everything that Gary hates, which is go for longer than an hour and just don't talk about Chelsea at all and see what happens, see how far we can get. That's
another,
again,
and that,
another
sadly, is the end of the pod. Gary has canned it because he hated that episode so much that we are no longer a pod.
Yeah, no, exactly. That's a shame. Thanks, guys. Take care. See you later. But before we do go, should we do the Echo 11 for the cup final?
Yeah, I think that sounds like a plan.
Same 11 that played City?
Probably. I do think that Sterling obviously missed the chance, but he took his chance really well and came on and made a big impact against Palace as well. I wonder whether being dropped was a bit of a kick up the proverbial for him, and has made him realise, oh yeah, I do want to be in this team, because he was poor before that. I think in a cup final you have to start him. I'm really wondering when Nkunku is going to get in the starting lineup, because I'd like to see that, but I don't think you can do it in a cup final. So yeah, I probably would go same 11. I think the back four picks itself, based on yesterday, the keepers, Petrovic was good yesterday, made a couple of good saves, nothing he could do about the goal. Midfield, again, I thought they were very strong. Enzo was class yesterday, I thought, really, really good. And Jackson obviously should have taken his chance, but set it up nicely for the goal. Sterling, as I said, has to play, and then, well, Palmer's our best player at the moment, probably, other than maybe Gusto. So yeah, I'm happy with that 11. I think that's a strong team, and I think it gives us a chance.
Cool. That's the Echo 11. Thanks, guys.
There you go.
There's literally nothing I can disagree on. But I think, if it, like Tom said, if it wasn't a cup final, I'd start Jackson on the left and and play Nkunku down the middle.
Mm. But and what, drop Sterling.
Yeah, as much as he's taken his opportunity in that game, he also missed a big one. I think his lack of consistency throughout this season is something which makes me worry quite a lot.
Been quite frustrating.
And we're going to need someone who's going to pounce on those opportunities against Liverpool.
I really don't want a repeat of the League Cup final of 2022, where we kind of were the better team and we just didn't score, and it was getting very frustrating. And I was there as well, which was annoying. But it was interesting yesterday, Sterling. The chance he took was actually significantly harder than the one he missed. A bit like Nunez, I guess. But yeah, I think that's a good 11, and I'd be surprised if it's drastically different from that.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously with that, there's a very high chance that we won't get any more injuries.
Hopefully.
But Liverpool, oh my God, my heart bleeds for them. Oh, they've got such an injury crisis. Like, I don't know what to possibly say.
Mm.
It's not like we have not had our main centre-back, our main centre-forward, and the bulk of our squad for the majority of this season. So shut up, Liverpool.
And last season.
So yeah, but oh my God, we've had such, we're in such a better position. Oh my God, woe is me. Mm. It does my head in. It really does.
Yeah. I mean, we've had Sanchez out for a while, which has actually been advantageous because Petrovic has turned out to be quite good. Obviously, Fofana's out for the entire season. Who knows if we'll ever see him properly play for Chelsea again. Cole's been injured at times. Badiashile's been injured for most of the season. Now Silva's injured. De Sassi has actually remained fit pretty much all season, maybe even the entire season, which is something that I haven't given him credit for, because availability is key. We've had injuries with Gusto, we've had Reece James been injured for how many times this season? Well, twice, but pretty much missed the whole season. Chilwell was out for ages. We still haven't seen Lavia play. Yeah, I could go on, because it'd be a bit boring if I just take you through all of our injuries. You know them all. But yeah, Liverpool now have their own. That was what I meant by at what cost. They obviously battered Brentford, the G-Tech, but Curtis Jones went down with what looked like a semi-nasty ankle injury. Quite innocuous, but he just balanced the wrong way and his ankle was a bit weird. Jota looked to me like from my completely, absolutely zero medical expertise brain, looked like an MCL the way his knee bent the wrong way. Salah apparently isn't 100%. Nunez is now apparently a 50-50 as to whether he'll start. The cup final, he went off at half time, and that was apparently a muscular injury. He had a scan on that today, so we don't yet know. Trent is out. Alisson is currently out. Probably wouldn't have played anyway. It would have been Kelleher. So a load of injury issues. I don't think they're anymore. They probably are. But they're not going to be anywhere near full strength, which is obviously a benefit for us.
but based on that, what's their 11 going to be? Like, if we're going to match this up, let's be honest.
Yeah.
And match this up side by side.
It'll be Kelleher Robertson, Van Dijk, Konate. I imagine they'll probably start Bradley in the final.
Mm-hmm.
They could do Gomez, but Bradley was class against us last time, so I don't think they'll worry about that. Midfield, I guess, would be Endo, probably Gravenberch now. I'm not sure who else would play, even though Szoboszlai.
McAllister.
Oh, McAllister, of course, yes. And then Diaz, Gakpo, and I imagine Salah will probably be fit. So it's still a strong team, of course.
But. Exactly. So this is what really does my... We've had so many injuries. Shut up, man. Shut up. Mm. Like, it really the way that everyone's like, oh, Liverpool now in a massive crisis. Like, no, they're not. That 11 is still a top 14.
Yeah, of course it is. I think the key there as well is... I think the key thing for us will be the lack of depth off the bench. There's a few players who are kind of doubts. It's competing on all fronts, which is difficult. I get that, but I think it's a bit of a lack of awareness. I don't, Liverpool fans are obviously going to moan about it, just like we moan about our own crisis. We care about our own club more, so we're going to say it. I get that. But from pundits, I think pundits talking about it and having no awareness on... other clubs have injuries too. Look at Chelsea the past 2 years. I don't want to kind of get the violin out and stuff, but it's been bleak in terms of injuries for two seasons and no one seems to talk about that. So,
no.
I think the key one will be Salah. If Salah's not fit, obviously Jota's almost certainly out. If Nunez is also out, there's Harvey Elliott will play. He's still a good player, but it's very, very different from having Salah fit. So I think that's the key one really for us in that game. Mm. And where we can, obviously it's a benefit having these players out, but... if he's out, that would be great. And a lack of bench options as well, whereas we might actually have a few like Nkunku and stuff. So yeah, it's you know, as bad as it is to kind of be happy about injuries, this sort of so-called crisis for Liverpool has probably come at the perfect time for us.
Well, we'll have to see. But yeah, I mean, move on from now. Obviously, we've talked about the fact that Liverpool have a massive injury crisis, but for us, this is the first cup final in the Pochettino era, and hopefully the first of many of these for our players. I mean, if you're Pochettino, with all of that going on, because there's going to be a lot of noise, straight away, even on Sky, when they were doing the coverage of the game, it was, will this be the first step in Jurgen Klopp's last hurrah? Or it's like, or will Chelsea spoil the party? It's like, why are we talking about it like that? Also, it's like, it's a case of, you know, a lot of people are going to want Liverpool to win. They are. It's like, I saw Liverpool, people are going to probably choose Liverpool. But, I mean, I stand to be corrected on that, actually. I take that back. I don't think that is actually strictly true. I think a lot of people prefer us to win it to see Jurgen Klopp cry. But if you're Pochettino in that dressing room before the game, you got everyone in a huddle, you're doing your bit, what's your message to them?
Yeah, well, we're going full Poch style. We're standing around the barbecue. We've got some garlicky chicken on. You know, we're frying some stuff up, cooking. Yeah, I think I would do the classic, probably similar to City, actually, and just go, lads, it's a cup final, you're at Wembley, full packed house, how many times are you going to get to do that? Hopefully lots, but, you know, some people get it once, most people in the whole world get it never. So have it, go out, enjoy it, it's a massive chance. You know, we've played these before, we did well against them, we also played them, we did badly, you know, so you know what you got to do. Go out, enjoy it. Something along those lines. I wouldn't, you know, I don't know. Who would give a rousing speech in that squad now? I don't really know.
I would. I'd give a great speech.
In the squad now, though? As in, which player would be...
To get me in on loan, innit? Emergency signing.
Anyway, yeah, I would be very chill about it. I'd say, go out, have fun, win the trophy, see you later.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely wouldn't be chill. I'd be the exact opposite. Being chill, you enjoy. You have your chill, like, okay, boys, enjoy it. It's Liverpool. It's Wembley. These are the games you want to win. So go out and fucking win it. Give everything, leave everything on the pitch. Fight for every ball, just like you did against City. Show what you're made of. This is Chelsea fucking Football Club. Let's fucking have it, boys. And then go fucking just punch a wall on the way out.
Yeah, and then miss the whole game because you broke your hand.
Nah, mate, just wrap it up. It's fine. Don't worry about it. I'll be sorted. Just nut the wall on the way out, get a concussion, then I won't be able to play.
Knock yourself.
Yeah, bang! Oh God, okay, what's happened there?
Just blood everywhere.
do you remember Mike Bassett when they did the film? Mike Bassett, England manager, and they got right. So there's a character, you know the actor Jeff Bell, who played, he's pretty much in like every single like football hooligan film.
Jeff Bell.
There's a really famous clip. So Mike Bassett's obviously like, it's the Garth and Royal family. It's like, right, Wacker, go on, give him your speech. What are we going to do? And so Geezer, I think the stat for him in the England team is he's been sent off in every game he's played. So he's the captain. He goes, right, go on, give him the speech. He just looks at everyone and goes, let's fucking have it! Punches a wall and runs out. I'm like, that would have been me about 5-6 years ago. But now, maybe not so much. But yeah, I mean, me and you come at it from very different angles, which is why this podcast is so good as well. Tom's very calm, very analytical. I'm passionate merchant, headbutting walls and punching things. And then that way, you know, I can still somehow bring it all together. But yeah, another reason why you should be listening to this podcast.
Movie different reviews, ways of looking at the same food. Things.
Exactly. Boom. Fast Scratch podcast for a reason. But yeah, look, with that, obviously, we've given our message. For Pochettino,
yeah,
he wins this. How much would that mean?
Oh yeah, I mean it would mean everything. He's, you know, he had that reputation of, and he even joked about it in an awards ceremony when he won an award about, you know, never winning trophies and, hi, this is the first trophy. I am unlucky. But obviously, deep down, it will be something that hurts him. I think going to PSG as well and. Well, he won the league title and two. Well, I don't even know if the Trophy of the Champion actually even counts. I mean, if I was a manager here,
it's like the Charity Shield, isn't it?
I think so. Yeah, but I think it is a bigger deal in Europe than it is here. But yeah, I wouldn't be bragging about that. So he's essentially won a cup and a league at PSG when he was there for a few two seasons, and he only won one league anyway. So he's not really, he's never really won trophies. That's the one thing he's not got. He obviously took Spurs to a new level. He's now rebuilding with a Chelsea team. Hopefully he'll do well here, be here for a while, which is crazy that I'm saying that after 2 weeks ago. But anyway, you know, Southampton he did really well with, but trophies are one thing he doesn't have. So I think if he did win, we'd probably see some Mauricio Pochettino, you know, Amsterdam style tears on the sideline. Or I don't think he'd do the sort of more subtle little Sarri looking at his medal happy moment. I think it would be more emotional. We haven't really seen much emotion from Poch yet in the dugout. So, yeah, I wonder if we'll see that. And I wonder if we'll wear that kind of not very good hat that you wore yesterday. I didn't really like that, but yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't too sure about the look, to be honest. But, no. I reckon he's going to wear his suit out. He'll be wearing his full black, that black number, ready for Liverpool's funeral. That's what it's going to be. Boom. Puns. With
transitions.
Funny.
Puns. Exactly. We've got it all here.
But, I mean, look, we talked about Poch. Obviously, we've mentioned how much it means to the players. Like, it would be a big step for them in the right direction. We've said this so many times. But one thing I don't think we have talked about is how important this would be for this current board at Chelsea. Come under a lot of fire, rightfully so. We've looked like we're not really going anywhere, but then all of a sudden we seem to be potentially formulating a bit of a process. If this trophy does end up back at Stamford Bridge for the first time since 2015, how much will that mean?
Yeah, I mean a lot. And I'm sure, even though I know they want to, you know, they want to do their own regime and things, I'm sure it won't go unnoticed that the first trophy of the Abramovich era was also this trophy, also against Liverpool. So it would be kind of like a positive start, really. I think you can kind of call it then, right? You've had your nonsense, you spent all that money on, and a lot of it appears to have been wasted, but there we go. We've got this really young squad, which on the face of it's quite exciting in a way, but then some of it you're just like, are we there? But then, you know, now we're looking good. So I think it would show a lot. You're beating a top team. It's the first win for Poch. It's some of these players winning at Wembley. It means it will help them so much, even just playing here, but winning especially. And also, one thing we haven't spoken about yet is our record. Our recent record at Wembley is absolutely awful.
It's abysmal. It's absolutely awful.
You know, we've had our struggles in cup finals there recently. So that's
why when people talk about Spursy being Spursy, I keep my mouth shut usually now, because I'm like, have you seen our record in the last few finals, lads? Like,
exactly.
Come on.
Exactly.
Let's not.
Yeah. The board will be absolutely delighted with the win, obviously. I still question whether how much they actually care about the football, but even to Americans who don't really know much about football, winning something, you know, lifting a trophy in the air is surely something they can understand. And you know, obviously in front of 90,000 people, they probably won't quite realise that actually, unless you're in the League Cup final, it doesn't really mean anything, to be honest. It's not like the Champions League or the Premier League or even the FA Cup with the history it has. But yeah.
No, but it's a good benchmark. I think that's fair to say, like, it's one which I think that it sets a standard, it sets a precedent. Like Mourinho started that trend, didn't he, when he came over, where he said, look, like, if you're top of the league and you're going for the trophy, this is a good way to almost have that as a barometer. So if you look at it and go, right, win your first trophy, now you push on. That's it, win your trophy, push on. And then every manager since has tried to do that. Obviously, Pep made a big thing of it. Obviously, City winning it, was it 3 years on the spin or something, where it kind of helped them push on. Liverpool obviously didn't win it the year they won the league, but they still had that trophy. They still pushed on. They still sort of like did what they needed to do over the past couple of years, where they won the FA Cup and the League Cup in the same season. So, you know, it's a good case of saying, right, win that trophy. Now you know what it feels like just to lift a trophy. But you don't just want this one. You want the FA Cup. Then you want the league. Then you want the Champions League. You want to be winning the big trophies with the club which is known for doing so. And I don't care if people say, oh, we didn't win the Liverpool 2003. Check your history books, we did. And we didn't win as much, obviously, but Chelsea over the past 25 years, over our lifetime, have shown how important it is that winning trophies can bring players to that club. Prime example, Eden Hazard. Obviously, this week he sort of said about how, you know, he wasn't going to come to Chelsea and he was looking at other clubs. He'd gone to speak to Harry Redknapp at Spurs. He'd been to the City training ground. He was talking to United and Fergie. And then all of a sudden, bang, Chelsea win the Champions League, everything changes. He wanted to play Champions League football, and we could offer it to him, and he was living in London. And the rest is history. So, you know, that sort of stuff where if you can set a barometer, and I'm not saying that if we win the Carabao Cup, by the way, that it's going to mean that players are going to want to come to Chelsea and play in the Conference League. There's still going to be other clubs right now which offer more. Let's be honest, let's just be completely fair here. And also, who knows if we're going to sign that quality of players. But realistically, this is a benchmark. Take it as a notch. And look, for me, obviously I want to win it. Obviously I want to win it. That fact that we've had such a poor run of finals makes you want to win that even more, because it means it is a fresh start. It really is. But if we don't, I just want us, much like in that City game, I just want us to give a very, very good account of ourselves. That's all I ask. Right now with Chelsea, it's about giving a good account and building and going forward. If we can use this as leverage to make sure that we progress into Europe and we win the cup, put it this way, it takes a lot of pressure off the team already, because we're guaranteed European football if we win it. But if we don't, just use it as a barometer to keep pushing forward.
Mm. We're guaranteed a playoff, I believe, for the Conference League if we win this. So it's a European game or two. I mean, I'd expect, obviously, to beat, I don't know, whoever we would play in there, FC Gibraltar or something, whoever we would play. I'd expect us to win, obviously, but technically, it's just me being pedantic. We wouldn't be guaranteed European football. But yeah. That Hazard stuff was good on that on the Mikel pod. I enjoyed that. Thank you, Drogba, I guess, is what he said, and I agree.
Exactly. And it just goes to show that even in chaos, Chelsea Football Club is still meant for the big stage. So hopefully we can go get the job done and we can do what we need to do at Wembley and win that trophy. So, we'll leave it at that. Guys, thank you very much for listening to what has been not quite an extended, but a nearly fully extended Chelsea Echo preview. If you have enjoyed this, please make sure you tune into the post-match show straight after the game. They're always on Twitter Spaces. We want to hear what you guys have to say post-game. We obviously haven't had as many people in and talking as we'd like, and the school wants to take those calls. So if you guys want to get in and talk about the game in a rational, I think is a key word there, rational and measured manner, we're here to talk about the football. We're not here to lose ourselves and get angry and all the time. Like, this isn't worth it. Let's get involved there. Me and Tom will both be there. I'll be at the game, but I'll be heading straight back. The Score is doing it live from Wembley, so that'll be a lot of fun. I'm not sure what Tom's doing, but we'll figure that out during the week. But a lot of stuff to come ahead of the Cup Final. Make sure you get involved with the Chelsea Echo. We're really, really excited to be doing what we're doing with you. Let's have some fun. Let's enjoy it. This has been a Sideline production. Make sure you follow the socials of the Chelsea Echo. Engage with us on those platforms as well. Tell your pals, your family, your nan and your dog. And we'll see you after the Cup Final. Ta-da.
Out with Chelsea.